Good morning, everyone.
You care to open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. Before we begin, let's bow before our Lord in prayer. Our Father, we bow before you this morning with hearts that we trust are truly full of worship, of adoration, of humility, of thanksgiving. And Father, we dare only come into your thrice holy presence in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, pleading his obedience as our only righteousness, pleading his blood as the only hope we have of being cleansed from our sins, and how we thank you for your gift, the unspeakable gift Christ our Savior. Father, I pray this morning that his name would be magnified and extolled, and that your people would be enabled by thy Spirit to, in silent awe and wonder, worship from the heart our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I beg of you that you would deliver us from playing games, deliver us from simply going through the motions of religion. Father, enable us to hear a word from thee. Father, I beg of you that you would give me a word from thee and that you would enable me to preach it clearly, simply, and boldly, and that you give your people near faith to hear, believe, and rest in our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, for those who are in times of great difficulty, sickness and sorrow and heartbroken, there's so many, right now we pray you'd meet every need richly, according to your mercy and grace, your wisdom and goodness for your people. Father, bless us. Bless us as we look into your word, we pray. For it's in Christ's name, for his glory, we pray. Amen. I've titled our lesson this morning, What Is It to Be Converted? Matthew 18, verse 3, our Savior says, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Except ye be converted. Well, what is it to be converted? What is it? It sounds important that we must be converted. He says, you shall not enter in the kingdom of heaven without it. Well, what is it to be converted? Well, number one, let me tell you, be like John Gill and tell you what conversion is not. Gill, if you read his commentaries, always starts out telling you what it's not. Here's what conversion is not. Conversion is not regeneration. Regeneration is the birth of a new nature. It's born of God in the heart of a believer. That's regeneration. Now, we know that if you would be saved, if we would be saved, we must be born again. That's what the Lord told Nicodemus, isn't it? We must be born again with a new nature that God will accept. We must be born with a new nature that believes God, that loves God, that trusts God. We must be born with a holy, righteous nature. Well, the only way sinners like you and me are ever going to be righteous, the only way sinners like you and me will ever be holy, is if God the Holy Spirit causes a new nature, a righteous, holy nature to be born in us, because this is certain, we can't make ourselves holy. This flesh will never be holy and righteous. So conversion is not regeneration. Now, but here's the thing. We must be regenerated before we can be converted. The word converted our Lord uses here means a turning. It means a changed mind. Believers have to change our minds about a lot of things. You know why? Because we're so often wrong. We have to change our minds about a lot of things. Believers have to be turned away from self. We've got to be turned away from the flesh because this flesh keeps trying to get us to look in the wrong places. This flesh keeps trying to get us to trust in the wrong things. We've got to have a change, a turning, and turn to quit trusting in the things of this flesh and trust Christ. Conversion is a continual thing. It's not a once-for-all thing. It's a continual thing. Regeneration is a once-for-all thing. Regeneration is a one-time event. If you're born of God, you only need to be born once, right? God did it right the first time. But conversion is a continual thing. It's like repentance. It's a continual thing. It's continually turning to Christ. It's continually coming to Christ. Coming to Christ away from ourselves and coming to Christ. Conversion is a continual changing of our mind. The flesh is just constantly wrong. It's a continual changing of our minds and a continual stopping, quitting of trusting in our own works and turning to trust Christ. Number two, conversion is necessary. It's necessary for salvation. Our Lord said, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, I'll reference our Lord's conversation with Nicodemus again. Remember, our Lord told Nicodemus, nobody can enter the kingdom of heaven except they be born again. Well, here the Lord says it's the same thing about conversion. You can't enter the kingdom of heaven except you be converted. Now, regeneration and conversion are two separate things, but they're both necessary to salvation. See, the evidence we've been regenerated is we're converted. The only person who can change their mind is a person that God the Holy Spirit's given them a new mind in the new birth. That's the only person that can change their mind. The only person who can turn away from the flesh and turn to Christ is a person who's been regenerated and been given a nature of faith in the new birth. The only person who can do that, turn like that, is a person who's already been born again. And this turning, this change of mind, is an inward thing. It's in the heart. It's in the heart. That's the result of the new birth. The conversion is not an outward thing. It's an inward thing that happens because we've been born again. And this conversion, this turning, this constantly turning away from the flesh and turning to Christ is as necessary for salvation as the election of the Father and the death of the Son. It's just that you can't enter heaven unless God chose you, can you? You can't enter heaven unless Christ died for you. Well, Savior says here, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven except you be converted. That makes this topic of conversion a very important topic. Now, conversion is necessary for salvation. And that makes my third point very important. Conversion is an act of God. It's an act that God does in His children, not something God's children do for themselves. Notice the way the Lord says it here. Except you be converted. He doesn't say unless you convert yourself. He didn't say unless you straighten up and start flying right. He didn't say except you change your mind and start thinking things that are true. He says except you be converted. Unless you be converted by the power and by the will of somebody else. And that somebody else is God the Holy Spirit, who works in the hearts of His people to convert them, to turn them, to constantly turn them to Christ. Now that has to be the work of God, doesn't it? Has to be. He has to be the one to convert us. He has to be the one to turn us. Because surely we know this by now. We know it from Scripture. We know it from our own experience. We're dead in sins. And dead people can't do anything. Dead people can't do anything but stink. We can't do anything for ourselves. We can't turn ourselves. We can't do anything for ourselves. God must be the one to turn us. And He does that for His people. Now, let me show you that in Scripture. Look first at Jeremiah chapter 31. This work of conversion is the work of God that God does in His people. Jeremiah 31, verse 18. I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus. Thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised, as a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke. Turn thou me, and I shall be turned. If you turn me, I'll be turned, for thou art the Lord my God. Surely, after that I was turned, after you turned me, I repented. And after that I was instructed, I smote upon my thigh. I was ashamed, even confounded, because I did bear the reproach of my youth. Is Ephraim my dear son? Is he a pleasant child? For since I spake against him, I do earnestly remember him still. Therefore my bowels are troubled for him. I will surely have mercy upon him, saith the Lord. He said, Ephraim here is my child, my pleasant child, the child of my love. Surely I'm going to have mercy on him. Surely I'm going to remember him. And I'm going to turn him. And Jeremiah says here, when we're turned, that's when we're going to repent. That's when we're going to see, oh, this is how awful I am. That's when we're going to hate our sin and trust Christ. He says, if you turn me, Lord, I'll be turned. Now look at Lamentations chapter 5. Lamentations chapter 5. Verse 20. Wherefore dost thou forget us forever, and forsake us so long time? Turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Lord, if you turn us, we'll be turned. If the Lord converts us, we'll be turned to Christ, won't we? Now look back at Psalm 80. Three times in one psalm, David deals with this matter of conversion. Psalm 80. Verse 3. Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Verse 7. Turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Verse 19. Turn us again, O Lord, God of hosts, cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Here's how we'll be saved. Because the Lord saved us. Because the Lord converted us. If he turns us, we'll be saved, won't we? So conversion is a supernatural act of God that God does in the hearts of his children. Now, how does God do that? How does he take his children and convert them, turn them, change their mind toward Christ? How does he do that? It's by the teaching of his word. Look at Psalm 19. Psalm 19. Verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. It's the word, the law of the Lord, the word of the Lord that converts the soul. Now, would you be converted? No, would you? Would you have your mind changed from error to truth? Would you have your attitude changed from wrong to right? Would you? Would you be converted? Well, I'll tell you what to do. Avail yourself to the teaching of God's Word. Because God's Word is how He converts His children and teaches them the truth. And many of us here know that. Just we know it from God's Word. We believe it. God's Word says it. But you also know it from your own experience, don't you? How often have you come here to the service and in your mental wagon, you got the axle's broken and one wheel's dragging? How often have you done that, huh? How often you come to the service feeling like you just got one or two square wheels on your mental wagon? Huh? Your wagon's broke, isn't it? But you leave that service feeling like all four wheels are round and well-oiled and well-aligned. Your wagon's been fixed. How'd that happen? Of God. Hearing the Word of God. That's how it happened. The Word of God is the children's bread, and the Word of God is the children's teacher. And what does it teach us? It teaches us Christ. And if we'll be taught Christ, our heart will naturally be turned to Him. But now remember, this change, this turning, this matter of converting is not a one-time act. Conversion is a continual thing. I mean, how often do we think, I've learned this lesson before. Well, I got to learn it again. Because conversion is a continual thing. And it happened. God uses His Word to do it. That's why we meet three times a week instead of once a year. It's a continual need that we have. All right, here's the fourth thing. How can I tell if I've been converted? Now, this is a very important subject. Unless I'm converted, I can't enter the kingdom of heaven. I want to know if I've been converted. What's the evidence that I've been converted? I'm going to give you several examples of conversion in action. First, the Lord says those who are converted become as little children. He says in verse 3, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, the Lord tells us become as little children. He doesn't mean become little children in knowledge, that you're ignorant and don't know anything. Absolutely not. No, we must grow in grace and knowledge. We must know whom we have believed. So the Lord doesn't mean become ignorant and excuse your ignorance. The Lord doesn't mean become an immature brat. God's children should behave themselves as well-taught children of our Father, shouldn't we? This is what the Lord means, that we should have the attitude of a child, the attitude of a very small child. I'll give you several things about children. I'm talking about small children now. I know children learn to be brats, and they learn to be selfish, and they learn to behave. I'm talking about just a very small child. They're not full of pride. A little child is small, and they know it. They're small, and they know they need help. They know they need help from their parents. They know they need help from others, and they're just not ashamed about it. They're just not ashamed. I'll use Lynn as an example. Jam's up in the nursery with her just last month. Now, Lynn's small, and she knows it. And she came up to Jam, just put her hands on her knees, and she wanted picked up. She needed help. She wanted picked up. She wanted loved on. And she wasn't ashamed to ask for it. I'm little. You're big. Help me. That's the attitude of a small child. That's the way we must become. Small and know it. And not ashamed to beg for mercy. See, small children are not full of pride, and that is the very issue that caused the Lord to teach this lesson on conversion. Look back up at verse 1, Matthew 18. Oh my. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" My soul. Can you imagine? I mean, can you just imagine the pride of these men? Isaac, they're looking at the Lord of glory. They know he's the Lord of glory. Peter said so. We know it. They're looking at the Lord of glory, and they say, "Which of us is going to be the greatest?" Oh, my goodness. Oh, the Lord's patience with his children. He knows we need to be converted, doesn't he? They asked this question because they thought they were so full of pride, they thought they were worthy to be the greatest. I mean, nobody would ask who's going to be the greatest unless they think they're worthy to be the greatest. And the Lord teaches them, and he teaches us, except you be converted, you're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. You've got to be humbled. Got to be humbled. Now, I tell you what, a believer is converted. In this sense, a believer is humbled. Now, I know it's not a once-for-all thing. It's a continual thing. We're humbled, aren't we? So that I know I'm not the greatest. I know I'm not even worthy to be the doorkeeper in God's house. And if I'm converted, I'll think of myself as less than the least of all the saints. I'll think of myself as least. I'll think of others better than myself. And if I want to be the greatest in something, this is what I know. I can be the greatest of sinners, the chief of sinners. That's being converted. The prodigal son, he was converted, wasn't he? And you know when he was converted? When he realized, "I'm not worthy to be called son of my father. I'm not even worthy to be his servant, but maybe he'll let me be one. I'm not going to go back and ask to be a son. I'm going to go back and ask to be a servant." That's being converted. See, greatness in God's kingdom is measured in humility. It's by being humble. It's not by being the big boss of everyone and everything. We're the greatest when we know, truly know, we're nothing. That's when we're the greatest. And we know we're nothing and Christ is everything. That's being converted. Number two, small children are teachable. A small child doesn't know anything, and he knows it. Small children are fascinated to learn things about the world around them. Last week we were at Janet's mother's for her birthday, and all the family was there, and I was with our niece's children, 5 and 3. Right, 5 and 3. I can't even remember what I told him. I told him something, you know, about something. It was true. Unlike the normal things I tell them that are jokes, this was a true thing. And they looked at me, really? They were just fascinated to learn something new. Babies are fascinated to learn. They got fingers. Where do those things come from? You know, they're fascinated. They don't know anything, and they know it. Well, here are the disciples are in complete ignorance, asking the Lord who's going to be greatest in the kingdom. They're still thinking about an earthly kingdom. They're trying to carve out their spot, you know, in the council, you know, or the cabinet of the Lord, you know, in this earthly kingdom. They're not thinking about a spiritual kingdom. They're thinking about a spiritual kingdom. They still don't know that all the glory belongs to the Son of God. It all belongs to Him. And they need to be taught. And our Lord taught them, and they learned, didn't they? They learned. Let's be patient with one another. Be patient with ourselves. Be patient with our brethren. If they're God's children, they'll learn. They'll learn. God will teach them. And I'll tell you how to tell if we've been converted. We'll be teachable. We'll be teachable. And if God will make us teachable, I'll tell you what God's children are going to learn. They're going to learn Christ. That's what they're going to learn. Number three, children are obedient. Verse 2, Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. Now the Lord called this little child, it's probably a toddler, and that child, that toddler, came to the Lord. The Lord said, come here, man. And he came. Children are obedient. Well, when you and I are converted, we will become obedient. We'll become obedient to our Father. We'll become obedient to His will. We'll become obedient to His Word. Whatever it was that we used to think before, whatever it is I'm thinking right now, if it's wrong, my mind's going to be changed when I see it in the Word of God. It'll be changed. I'll just believe it. Well, obedient to the Word. Obedient to believe God. This is the commandment of God, that you believe on His Son. Now, believe Him. You who believe Him? God's children. He's going to make them obedient. Fourthly, small children are dependent. They don't own anything. They can't do anything for themselves. They're naked, and they need somebody else to buy them clothes. They need somebody else to put clothes on. They can't even clothe themselves. They can't even put their own clothes on. They know it. They need somebody else to help them. When they're hungry, somebody else has got to buy them food. Somebody else has got to fix some food. They're too little to get up there on the counter and operate the stove. It'd be a bad thing if they did, wouldn't it? Wouldn't be safe. They're dependent. They need somebody else to do these things for them. Well, I'll tell you when we've been converted. We find ourselves completely and utterly dependent on the Lord Jesus Christ. He has to be everything the Father requires of me, because I can't produce anything. Not one blessed thing. I'm completely dependent on Him. That's when I've been converted. God's children are converted and know this. I don't have any good works. I don't have any obedience. I don't have any goodness about myself that I can bring to God. So I'm totally dependent on Christ. That's being converted. Then fifth, small children are not offensive. Now, I know sometimes they're selfish and they want to play with the toy I'm playing with and the toy this child is playing with too, I know. But generally speaking, small children are not offensive and they like to play with other children. They like it when somebody their size, you know, shows up. Well, as the children of God, you and I need to be very, very careful about this. We need to be very careful not to offend one of God's little ones. Because when we do, when we offend one of God's little ones, in that so much that you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, the Lord said, you've done it to me. When we offend one of God's little ones, we've offended God Almighty. I mean, you think about that. Of all the titles that God uses, that are especially in the Gospels, that our Lord uses, when He talks about His elect, the word child, children, and little ones, that's the most common word, descriptor He uses to describe a believer. My children. My little ones. Now, you and I love our children. We love our little ones, don't we? I mean, we just do anything in this world to protect them. Our little ones. We have no idea the infinite, perfect love of the Father for His little ones. For His children. He chose them. Electing love. He chose them. He brought them into His family on purpose in adopting love. He begat them in regenerating love. He redeemed them because He loved them. He redeemed them by the blood of His only begotten Son. The only reason in this world He'd do that is He loves them. He loves them enough to die for them, to pay for their sin debt. He loves them. He gave them life by His Holy Spirit that He sent to dwell in them. because he loves them. The God of heaven and earth loves his children, and you and I had better be careful not to offend them. Look at verse 6. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanging about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses. For it must be, needs be, that offenses come. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off. Cast them from thee. It's better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It's better for thee to enter into life with one eye, rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven. And here's what the Lord's teaching us. He's not teaching us to mutilate your body. Don't anybody go home today, pluck out your eye or cut off a hand or a foot. That's not what the Lord's teaching here. This is what he's teaching. If you have something, I mean, even if it's dear to you, even if it's dear to you, maybe your own glory, maybe your own recognition, something like whatever it is, something that's dear to you, and by you doing it, it offends one of God's little ones, cut it out. Cut it off and throw it away. Whatever, I know it's dear to you, but whatever it is, trust me, it's not worth it. It's not worth it if by doing it you offend one of God's little ones. You're far better off getting rid of something indifferent than hurting a child of God. Here's the last thing. Look at Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. If we're converted, we're going to be a whole lot more interested in serving others than bossing them. Luke chapter 22, verse 24. Here the same issue has come up again. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. This spiritual kingdom is not run the way of sinful, earthly, fleshly kingdom is run. You shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger. And he that is chief, as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? But I am among you as he that serveth. Think of that. The Prince of Glory came to serve, didn't he? Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. And I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on the thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Now, this is what the Lord's telling Peter. Peter, when you're converted, you're going to have to drop this matter of pride. This matter of pride of thinking you're the greatest. This matter of pride thinking you're the greatest among these other 12 that you'll go with me to death and to the grave. Peter, you don't know how weak you are. When you're converted, you're going to drop this matter of pride. And then when you do, here's what you do. Start serving your brethren. Strengthen your brethren by serving them. Not by bossing them, not by lording your faith over them. Oh, I'm more willing to die for the Lord than you are. I'm more willing to go to prison for the Lord than you are. You know, I'm closer to him than you are. Not by lording those things over them, but by serving them. By serving. Peter, serve them by pointing them to Christ. Peter, serve them by telling them about our great need. Peter, serve your brethren. They're hurting, they're low, they're... Serve them by telling them, I understand. I'm nothing too. And the only thing we have is to look to Christ. That's our only hope. Serve them like that. Serve them. Serve them in whatever way you can. If it's physically, serve them. After the service this afternoon, we're going to have lunch. Aren't you glad the ladies are so happy to serve and cook food and bring it all in here? That's wonderful. Do that. Do whatever way it is that God's given you to serve His people, do it. Serve Him. Don't look for the credit. Just serve Him. That's being converted. All right. I hope the Lord will bless that to you.